Hello, everybody, and welcome to our BLR Lightning. My name is Michael Wax. I am joined by Matt Gannon. You might notice that this is a bit of a different setup today. No Jake Ricker, no Joe Zamatara, but Matt, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty well, better than some. I'm glad to be back here. It's been a little while. I want to say going on like 2 or 3 weeks since we've had a show. Still don't have the usual cast. Jake and Joe, just like a lot of other people in the Tampa Bay area, a lot of people in Florida just dealing with the after effects of the storm. Everybody's all right from what I've heard in the RBLR world, but still just, you know, dealing with the after effects of the storm. So I'm lucky enough to be here with you today. Michael, you are out of the way of the storm, which is convenient for you. But no, glad to be back here doing it. We're a little late to the party. The season's already started. But I guess we're here to recap you on everything that you and I have both missed.
Yeah, it's a very interesting perspective, not being in Florida for something like this. But ultimately, you know, very glad to be safe and out of the way. Hope that all of you that are watching or listening are also safe and out of the way of any sort of debris or anything like that. Thank you so much, Beverly, for your message. Really do appreciate that. But Matt, let's get right on into it. Starting off with the roster from opening night. Now, we haven't had a show in a long time. And for that reason, yeah, they've already started playing, but the roster was probably about 35 people when the last show was recorded. So now the Lightning have their original, I believe it's 22. It's a lot of the same names that you would think about, some new additions, but we're going to read them off for you here. On the forward side of things, Cam Atkinson, Mitchell Chafee, Anthony Cirelli, Connor Geeky, who made the opening night roster, Zemgus Girgensons, Luke Glendening, Jake Gensel, Brandon Hagel, Nikita Kucherov, Nick Paul, Braden Point, and Connor Sheary. We're going to start here, Matt. Anyone that is really surprising? I know there's one name that we really didn't expect when this whole thing started, but anyone other than him that you're really excited to see?
Yeah, I guess we'll get the free space out of the way with Connor Geeky. It's really cool. I think everybody, I speak for pretty much everybody in Bolts Nation, that really loved what they saw from Connor Geeky. Yeah, he was pretty hyped coming in. You know, he was the main piece in the Sergachev trade. And just what he did in preseason was, you know, some people have their opinion about it, but I loved everything I saw from Geeky in the preseason. And, you know, even in the first game against the Hurricanes, he had limited ice time. He's still a young guy, 20, 21 years old, something like that. But again, just from the very, very little that we saw, again, in preseason and the regular season, I love that he made the opening night roster. I'd like to take a little bit of credit for this. I think I sent it in our group chat, but I told Victor Hedman on one of his Instagram posts to tell John Cooper that Geeky has a spot in the opening night lineup, and he liked my comment. He liked every other comment on his post, but I'd like to pretend I had somewhat of a influence on the decision.
You and me both, because when I was at the rookie showcase, I've been using this quote over and over again since it happened, but he did tell me, he's like, I'm trying to make the roster. Like, it's not a secret. I'm trying to make the opening night roster. And here he is. He's on the opening night roster. I thought he played pretty well in game one, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But someone that I'm pretty excited to see, honestly, and this might be just because I'm kind of wired a little bit differently when it comes to being excited for penalty killing purposes, but I think Zemgus Girgensons a pretty good addition to what was already a very good penalty kill. They did lose a couple of key pieces in the offseason, but I love a good penalty kill for the Lightning, especially one that generates its own chances. And we saw a decent amount of that in game one against the Hurricanes and in the final preseason game against Florida. So ultimately, that is where the forwards stand as far as defensemen go. Again, a couple of new additions, a couple of familiar faces. Eric Cernak, Victor Hedman, Emil Lilleberg, Ryan McDonough, J.J. Moser, Nick Pervix, and Darren Radish are your seven defensemen on the opening night roster.
Yeah, J.J. Moser is obviously the fancy new name that we have, and I liked what I saw from him, too. He was somebody I had on my fantasy team last year, you know, for a brief stint, because he can put up points. You know, he's a solid 30 to 35-point guy in Arizona. Who knows what he can be in Tampa. He's probably third on the depth chart when it comes to, like, offensive defensemen. Obviously, your horse you ride in Victor Hedman, and then Darren Radish is really starting to make a name for himself. And then you got J.J. Moser. He's a good puck-moving defenseman who can, you know, also play defense. He's not a one-trick pony like a lot of other offensive defensemen are. I'd say offense is actually probably his second trait. A little bit on the smaller side, and it took him a little bit in game one to really find his footing. I completely understand it. You're a brand new player on a brand new team. It's going to take a while to try to adapt to the Bolts defense, especially with Jeff Blashill at the helm of that defense. It takes a lot to adapt to that. But as that game one did go on, it seemed like he really did settle into his role. And obviously, you know, having Lilleberg also on the roster, he looked a little rough to me in preseason despite some good stats, but I didn't really notice much of anything in game one. He was on the ice for the only goal against, but I'm not too bummed about it. We saw what Lilleberg did last year, and everybody was a huge fan of it. Me and Joe just couldn't stop talking about him. So, no, I people have their opinions on what this lineup is and what it will be, but I'm not going to say it's better than last year, but I'm as confident, if not more confident, for a bounce back year, for a more Lightning-esque dominant year with what we do have, with all the players that we do have on the team, the new additions and the old ones.
There's a little bit of hindsight already being 1-0 when that statement, I feel like. But, you know, I'm cool with the seven that are on there, the seven defensemen. I really would have liked to see Max Krogan make the opening night roster. I think he's a better defensive defenseman than a lot of the guys that are currently on the opening night roster, but they're probably going to give him some more reps in Syracuse and then eventually bring him up. So it's not a huge concern.
Yeah, and he's the next guy to be called up if there's an injury on defense. And right now, you know, we did ice seven defensemen for game one, mm-hmm. but even still, he's probably the next guy to be called up if, you know, a defenseman does happen to go down, or if two goes down, you know, he does, you know, find a spot in the game. I know you are the resident Max Crozier fan, and yep. I'm starting to drink the Kool-Aid a bit. If you're high on a prospect, I'll follow suit with you.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that. You know, someone that created the pro, or not created, but followed in Steve Dangle's footsteps, created my own prospect pyramid for the Tampa Bay Lightning. A couple of players that we haven't mentioned. One of them is on injury reserve currently, or actually, not even on IR. He might make his debut tomorrow against the Vancouver Canucks in the home opener. That is Mikey Acemont, who is currently out with injury. And then Andrei Vasilevskiy and Jonas Johansson are your goaltenders for this season. And hopefully, those are the only two goaltenders we have this year after what we experienced in prior seasons.
Yeah, and I think it was either you or Jake tweeted it on the Bolt Report account about, you know, falling back into the same tendencies that, you know,
we'll get to that.
We saw a little bit of that with Vasilevskiy in game one, and he was spectacular. It was, you know, one of the best games I can remember him playing in a long time. Like, he wasn't his usual self last year, but man, he really looked like the Vasilevskiy we all know and love. And for better or worse, the team in front of him looked like the team we're all pretty accustomed to. Just kind of like, big cat's back there. He's got it. That was kind of one of my big takeaways from game one. But it's always, you know, that's how this team has always, not always been built, but one of the strongest points of their team is their goaltending duo. It's Vasilevskiy and whoever else. You do have to talk about Johansson for a bit. He's a stable, steady backup goaltender. There's better in the world, but when you're playing behind Vasilevskiy, it really doesn't matter who it is. You're getting a fraction of the games. You're getting all the easy games and, you know, one part of a back-to-back. So hopefully Johansson follows up what was a pretty decent year for the Bolts last year with another pretty decent year this year.
Yeah, and he was a lot better as the preseason went along in terms of, you know, getting his feet underneath him, because as someone that was at that Nashville game, oh boy, like, he was fine in the Nashville game. He was horrible in the Orlando game. Don't get me wrong. he's got better and better and better as the preseason went along. That's really all the Lightning can ask for. So that is your opening night roster. There is 22 players plus Mike Acemont. But let's get to the meat of this video, the big part of the video. In game one, the Lightning went 11 forwards, 7 defensemen, as Matt already said. They had all 7 defensemen, and Connor Sheary was the odd man out on forward, meaning that Connor Geeky made his NHL debut. For the Lightning, it was a 4-1 win. They fell behind 1-0 in the first period. Jordan Staal opened the game up with a goal. In the second period, they evened it up with a Braden Point power play goal. In the third period, they really did run away with it. Nikita Kucherov got a power play goal for his first of the season, followed by an empty net goal, followed by another empty net goal. So that is a hat trick for Nikita Kucherov, the second opening night hat trick in Tampa Bay Lightning history, only behind Chris Kontos in game one of the Lightning's franchise history, where he had 4 goals. Matt, we've talked about it a little bit already, but what were your general impressions of this game?
Empty net merchant. I'm kidding. I did spoil a lot of what we were going to talk about in the part where we weren't really talking about this game. So I guess here's my chance to do so. But yeah, it was your not prototypical Tampa Bay Lightning game from last year, where you just kind of do have to lean in on special teams and you're kind of so-so at 5-on-5. It wasn't completely that, because there were momentum shifts, whereas last year it seemed like you couldn't they couldn't ride with the momentum. If it was if they were skating downhill for a couple of shifts, they really couldn't keep that going. They couldn't keep any offensive momentum. Or if they were getting pinned in their own zone, they just kind of stayed pinned and really just kind of, played or just let go, really couldn't find their footing. This game, there were momentum shifts. It was back and forth. There were long momentum shifts as well. Carolina, they played a really good game. They played, prototypical Carolina game where they just kind of shut down, harden, don't really give you a whole lot, and just use the transition game and try and score off the rush and just cause chaos. I think that's one of their actual like team slogans, isn't it? So again, I liked what I saw. I can't really point out too many bad things from the game. Everybody's got growing pains, even Carolina. Like Ryan McDonagh got beat early on by Andrei Svechnikov and ended up getting stonewalled by Andrei Vasilevskiy. It was a good shot and a good save, but you could tell, McDonagh himself is kind of getting back into the swing of things, trying to relearn what this defense is, or I guess learn what this defense is, and hopefully put his defensive expertise back into this locker room and defensive system. It was a fine game. Yes, I'd like to see a little bit more. I'd like to see more 5-on-5. Hopefully he can work on that. But again, this was a really good team, a really good 5-on-5 team, talking about Carolina here. So it really is hard to generate, any chances or even, momentum against Carolina. So if you can walk away 4-1, 2 goals being an empty net goal, I'm happy. A lot of the Cooch haters are not happy. But all in all, an entertaining game. There could be more, but I'm going to be satisfied with the result that we did have.
Anytime that you can get a win is a positive sign. You might have question marks after the win, but, you still won. And the Lightning are currently one of 5 undefeated teams in the NHL. They're going to remain undefeated, hopefully, for the rest of the season. I don't actually think this is going to happen. But I know we alluded to it earlier. I got kind of skewered online for saying that this was a repeat of last year. And in some ways, I thought about it a little bit more and I was wrong, but I'm not going to take back anything that I said about it. This was a game where your goaltender was your best player and your special teams was your best asset. Like, that's what it was, and that's what last year was as well. But ultimately, they did an okay job at limiting Carolina's chances later in the game, which is really all that you can ask for. There were a lot of outside shots. I don't really remember there being any like slot shots or anything like that. But again, Vasilevskiy was their best player. And this is why, I know this is a little bit different of a tangent. This is why the preseason matters, man. Andrei Vasilevskiy coming back after back surgery last year and immediately being thrown into the fire is probably why he struggled so much.
Oh, absolutely.
The majority of the season. This time around, coming in during the preseason, people say the preseason doesn't matter. It absolutely matters, especially for goaltenders. And as we saw in this one, Vasilevskiy was pretty good in the preseason, carried it on over to this first game against the Hurricanes. So ultimately, you know, your goaltender has to be your best player. And a lot of nights last year, he wasn't your best player. Ultimately, you had the best player in the world, so it didn't end up mattering. But, you know, if you can have prime Andre Vasilevskiy back, I think it makes the Lightning a lot more dangerous.
Absolutely. I mean, so many people writ off Vasilevskiy after a subpar postseason, talking about, you know, the rematch Bolts versus Leafs. He wasn't great that playoff run, let's be real, probably because he was dealing with a back injury, and then he comes off of surgery, which, you know, he was out for 2 months of the season, and then gets thrown into the fire with, you know, no training camp, no preseason, no seasoning at all. You just get thrown into the fire. Hey, be Vasilevskiy again. It's not that easy, especially with, you know, a totally different, you know, defensive core, or not D core, but D system in front of you, and a bunch of new faces. There were a bunch of new faces last year, as there are with this year. So it's not easy to adapt, even for the best goaltender in the world, still the best goaltender in the world, to, you know, reacclimate himself into the lineup. So seeing how well he did do, how good his positioning was, and what his mobility looked like as well, which kind of you didn't see a lot last year, was his mobility as opposed to his positioning, which is always pretty good. That's just kind of drilled into him. He looked good in every aspect, and I hope it's not a theme to continue with just, again, Big Cat's back there. He's got it. You know, there needs to be team defense. There needs to be forwards coming back and your defensemen strong in front of the net. That was the only goal against was weak defenseman in front of the net. I get it. It's Jordan Staal. He's like moving a mountain. But you got, you know, Emil Lilleberg. I forget who else was out there for.
It was Darren Radish. Yeah,
of course it was. but I don't know. They did. And I'm not blaming this goal on anybody, really. It was a really good play by Carolina. But if you can just, you know, get back to that team defense and be strong in front of the net and give your goaltender, or not have to completely lean into your goaltender and rely on him, that would be kind of my biggest first takeaway of the season so far, is to not revert to form and think Vasilevskiy will always be there to bail you out.
Yeah, you said you won't blame anybody on the first goal. I absolutely will. Brendan Hagel had a turnover.
Okay, yeah.
That was horrible. He's someone that I will go to, like, the deepest depths to defend. And even I was like, man, you can't do that. You have time, you have space, clear it out to the right side. And ultimately he spins back and he gets pickpocketed, and that leads to the season opening goal against. But that was the only blemish for the Lightning on the score sheet, which was awesome. We did see something very interesting, which we have not seen for a very long time. The power play in itself went 2-for-6, but we saw a new dynamic look, which had two defensemen on the first power play unit. You had Darren Radish on one side and Victor Hedman on the other. You had Braden Point, Nikita Kucherov, and then whether it was Jake Guentzel, Nick Paul, whoever was that fifth member. I'm interested to see what you think about this. We have not seen the two defensemen on power play one in a very long time.
Yeah, I mean, the whole power play is different, but also, you know, adding in a left-handed shooter on his strong side, the left side of the ice, is a completely new dynamic we haven't seen since whenever the last time Stamkos was injured. So 2020 or 2021. That's also completely new to us, too. But I kind of like what they're doing. Again, early season is the time to experiment. Darren Radish, he has a cannon of a shot. It's not quite the same shot as Steven Stamkos, who is just power and accuracy and can just get a good shot off no matter the pass. Darren Radish is going to have to work on it, but he did record the hardest shot during the regular season last year. He's got a cannon of a shot. I don't think he's going to be the full-time Stamkos replacement, because he was playing forward on these power plays. It wasn't too drastically different of, you know, what we normally see. Victor Hedman, he's, you know, the man back. But it is also nice to have another competent defenseman on the power play who, you know, worst case scenario, just goes back to his regular position as a defenseman if something goes awry. So keep experimenting with it. This power play is going to be, it's going to be different, you know, having Jake Guentzel or Nick Paul. Did they take Jake Guentzel off of the power play after that first one, or was he on the bench for repairs?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Cause he wasn't really utilized in that first power play, which he was on.
I mean, he wasn't really utilized in the entire game, if we're being honest with ourselves.
He had a really good third period. I'll say that he
finished with two assists.
There are two empty net assists,
two assists. We're not gonna play this game where you say that there are two empty net goals, so they don't count for Nikita Kucherov.
I'm not saying they don't count. I'm just saying you can't, you know, qualify them as the same as a regular assist. Okay. No, you can quantify them as the same. You can't qualify them as the same. I'm not saying either one is an empty net merchant, but the 2 points don't really tell you the whole story. This kind of goes back to not being useless 5-on-5, but still getting the ball rolling 5-on-5 and figuring out what the top line, what all these lines are going to be, but especially top six lines, what those are going to be. But Guentzel, getting off topic a little bit here, he had a really good finish to the game. He was arguably a shutdown forward in the last 10 minutes of the game after we got the go-ahead goal. Anyways, with the power play, it's going to take some ironing out. Power play two is an even bigger question. What's that going to look like? Who's going to be on that, especially if you're running your two best offensive defensemen on power play one? Is it going to be Moser back there? So it's just going to take some ironing out to see what really becomes of it. Early season is the time to, you know, play with things, do the line blender. Is there anything you liked or didn't like, would have done different on that power play?
Me specifically?
Yeah.
I'm not a coach, so.
You have an opinion.
I did. I think I'm in the same boat as you. I think, like, they need to try things out, and they were trying things out all the time in the preseason as well. But, you know, ultimately, you know, it's not going to be the same as far as, like, you're not going to have that option to keep passing left. So people are going to immediately shade right to block off Nikita Kucherov. But you know what that does do is it makes Braden Point that much more wide open. I think they utilize the bumper slot a lot more this season. You know, Pointer had 20 power play goals 2 seasons ago. I want to see it 15 last year. I got to say, it did not feel like it. They tried that bumper play so many times last year, and it did not work. So he must have gotten, like, the dirty types of power play goals that I didn't really fully register. But I think they use that Hedman to Kucherov. Either Kucherov sends it behind the net, and then it goes to Point, or Kucherov sends it to Point, and Point rips a shot. I think they do that a lot more.
And it also Kucherov, he could be in for, you know, even more goals this year as well, too. Without the left side one timer, you've got the right side one timer that Kucherov is terrific at. I mean, he is one of the most underrated shooters in the league, and that's because he chooses not to. He fakes people out great with his one timer. People respect it, but he's not really known for it like Stamkos or Ovechkin. Even Leon Draisaitl is now being, you know, hailed for a really good one timer because they all have them. But Nikita Kucherov also has a terrific one timer. I'm thinking back to the 2016-17 season. Stamkos was injured for the majority of that season. It was Kucherov's real coming out party as like a superstar. And he carried the team on his back. He had 41 goals that year on a team that missed the playoffs. And he was the guy on the power play. He has been ever since, but he was the goal scorer on the power play. Braden Point was still coming into his own. He didn't have Stamkos. He was the guy that was scoring the goals on the power play. So that's something that I think is a possibility of happening with the absence of Steven Stamkos. And you've got an excellent playmaker as well on the other side. If Jake Guentzel stays up there, he's really good at everything. Like Braden Point's a goal scorer, Kucherov's a playmaker. Jake Guentzel is a fine mix of both of those things. Maybe not quite at the elite levels that both of those guys are, but he's a better passer than Stamkos is. So maybe he'll be able to find Kucherov open for once, instead of Kucherov finding the other guys open. So that's my my thoughts on everything. And maybe Victor Hedman, he likes to shoot the puck, but maybe he'll be shooting it more. So I see opportunities for more goals to be spread out instead of just trying to get at the Stamkos or just trying to get at the point. It's going to be hard to top last year's power play, but the goals might be more spread out on the power play.
100%. And, you know, we talk about the power play. Gabby Shirley, who is the Tampa Bay Lightning's one of their reporters, did say that today's practice was mostly focused on special teams. So the first unit was Hedman, Radish, Kucherov, Point, and Gensel, like we talked about. And the second unit, which you had asked about, Moser is the defenseman on that unit right now with Brendan Hagel. Connor Geeky is getting power play time. Anthony Cirelli and Nick Paul. As far as the lines are concerned for the upcoming game, potentially, you've got Gensel, Point, Kucherov. No changes there. Hagel, Cirelli, Paul. Asamont, Geeky, and Atkinson. Cheery was rotating with Asamont. And then Gergensen's, Glendening, and Chafee. And then the defensive side, Hedman, Moser, McDonough, Cernak, Lilleberg, and Perbix, and then Darren Radish as your seven. So not a ton of changes from what we saw on the opening night. We are seeing Asamont get back in there, which is why I said earlier that he might actually be making his season debut tomorrow against Vancouver. What a wonderful birthday present that would be for me.
Oh, happy early birthday, Mike.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
I'd like to say something about that third line. If Sherry is still the odd man out, it's Atkinson. Atkinson. What's his name? Geeky and Mikey Asamont. I don't know why I blanked there. That has the potential to be one of the worst lines to play against in hockey. I mean, you know Asamont. He is just a buzzsaw out there. Cam Atkinson, he likes to hit. He likes to play rough, but he can also score. And then Connor Geeky, we've seen what kind of monster he can be when he wants to. Like, you know, when he just, you know, ragdolled the dude in the Panthers guy in the preseason. I can't remember his name. That has the potential to be an awful, awful line to play against. It might be – it's not going to be the I don't even know if it had a nickname, but the championship third line of Yanni Gord, Blake Coleman, and Barclay Goodrow, those guys were hell to play against, but they could really score. I think this has the potential to rival that, if not be even better.
That is a bold claim.
It is a bold
claim. That line was so good.
It was so good. Yeah, I'll retract my statement. It has the potential to be as good as that line. Maybe not as good defensively, but probably better offensively. You've got, again, Cam Atkinson is, you know, a year removed from a 50-point season. Mikey Asamont, if he puts things together, he can really become a heck of a player. Like, you know, all the tools are there. He's just got Matthew Joseph syndrome with stone hands. And then Connor Geeky, if he develops into what we all think, and, you know, he might not be on that third line for very long, which is kind of the ideal scenario. But while he is, boy, that sounds like hell to play against.
As we continue on with the show, first of all, we do want to say that instead of our RV Alert shop, we do want you guys to donate to the Red Cross Hurricane Relief if possible. We're putting the link right there, as well as hopefully in the description for our YouTube video, redcross.org. There are a lot of people that have been impacted by Hurricane Helene, Hurricane Milton. We saw a lot of damage to a lot of the Tampa and St. Petersburg area, including Tropicana Field, which was completely destroyed, which was a shock to the system. But a lot of people need your guys' help. If you are able, please do donate whatever you can to Red Cross Hurricane Relief. Going forward, we will see a very interesting matchup between the undefeated, I will keep on saying, undefeated Tampa Bay Lightning, as well as the technically still undefeated in regulation Vancouver Canucks. They are 0-0-2, so they have not lost a game in regulation. They have not won a game in regulation either. That game is scheduled to happen tomorrow. Amalie Arena is doing all right. Did not have a lot of structural damage. If any, the lights were still on after the hurricane, which is something that you love to see. And one thing that you will definitely be seeing is discounted tickets. The Lightning have been a part of an initiative in a partnership with Ticketmaster to give the first three games of this homestand discounted tickets for anybody that is interested in going. That is a phenomenal initiative by the Lightning. Really good on Ticketmaster as well. I know they have their problems as well, but good on them to recognize the circumstances. So if you'd like to go to a game, this is the perfect opportunity to do so.
The classiest organization in the league strikes again. I think it was Jake that sent us the article of if you bought a jersey with a ad on it or something, 10% of the proceeds of the jersey will also go to hurricane relief funding, I'm pretty sure. I might be butchering that, but he sent that in the chat a couple days ago. Again, just the classiest organization in the league strikes once more.
Ultimately, you know, what would you like to see as we're wrapping this up? There's not a ton to talk about because there's only been one game so far. Oh, here we go. We got a question. Thank you so much, Beverly. Would love your thoughts on Sheary not dressing and not projected for the lineup for tomorrow as well. It's something that we hinted at, but we didn't outright say it. Matt, you go first.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, we tried the Sheary experiment most of last year. He dealt with some injury and just really could not find his footing. Sorry, my dog's grabbing something she shouldn't. again, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I've liked what I've seen from Connor Geeky, and I'd like to, you know, see him stay up with the big club. I know you don't have to run 11-7, and you could fit both of them in the line. Well, not unless Asamon's playing. That you can't do that. Hey, knock it off. So again, we've done the Sheary experiment. Hopefully this year's a bit different. Hopefully he can find some chemistry with the guys that, you know, he'll be playing with. It's inevitable that he will get in the lineup, but until, you know, things take a sour turn for the worse, I'd say you're riding pine. You're in the press box. And until we need a shakeup, until we need, you know, extra skaters, if there's any injuries, inevitably there will be. So ride the hot hand is my opinion. Michael, do you have any different thoughts about it? Or are you?
I mean, like, he's not even playing on – he's in year two of three of this contract, man. Like, I know that we don't want to talk about, like, the contract aspect of a lot of things when people are on the ice, but he's not even on the ice right now. This sucks. Like, he can't even provide worth to that contract that the Lightning paid him. So I do wonder
if – what does he make per year? Sorry.
It's 2x2. See, it was a 2x3 contract, so he's okay. 1 year off, so it's 2x2 now. It's tough. That's $2 million the Lightning could desperately use, especially at the deadline.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be this guy that's all prospects all the time. I do think there are a couple guys in Syracuse that can make a better impact than him if he's going to be sitting in the press box all the time.
Does somebody have the initials MG?
Possibly. He did get a goal in the season opening game.
Oh, did he?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Also, great initials, MG.
Matt Gannon will be taking the ice tomorrow. Yeah. So, ultimately, the roster as it is, I know, you know, you had mentioned this early, and I said, oh, it's probably early because it's one game. Looks a lot better. Like, winning solves everything, but there's not a ton to really point out and complain about early, which is good. And I think a lot of us are still riding high from even the Florida preseason game, which they did lose in overtime, but they had a lot of really cool moments. Like, so far, so good. I don't really have anything to really bring down the team, which is rare for me. I always find something to complain about.
Give it a week.
Yeah, you guys can bring me back next week, and I'll definitely have something to complain about then. But, you know, one of the things we talked about as well, and we're going to wrap this up soon enough, but hurricane aside, hopefully everybody is safe. It is nice the Lightning did not have to play back-to-back. You know, playing a home-and-home against Carolina – to start off the season would have been fine if they had to do it, but you're not having to make that goalie choice number one in terms of starting what game. Would have been very weird if Jonas Johansson started the home opener. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be honest, but ultimately that is the situation that we're in. Hopefully, as the week goes on, things to return to a sense of normalcy. Matt, anything else that you want to add before we wrap it up here?
No, I like what you said about, you know, not having to play the preseason games, or not the preseason, the back-to-back games. I didn't even consider, you know, starting Johansson, or, you know, not having to start him in the home opener. I get it's one game out of 41, but still, there's some significance to it. And the odds of you winning both games on a back-to-back are significantly low. Like, you usually do split them no matter what team you are. The odds of you winning both games are pretty low. So now we don't have to deal with that unless they decide to schedule us a, you know, put that game next to another game later on in the season, however they might decide to do that.
Oh, yeah, they're definitely doing that.
I now hope that you mention not, it. But, you know, that's a problem for another day, you know. So I don't really have any final thoughts other than, you know, don't fall back into the same tendencies that, you know, plagued you last year, and just give Kucherov the puck and Gensel. He's on my fantasy team.
From Daniel, we are Jays in this episode. This is Joe and Jake. Hopefully the whole crew made it through the storm. Okay. Well, Daniel, you're with the M's this time.
Yeah.
Mike and Matthew are with you on this one. But, you know, this was a really fun episode to talk about the beginning of the season. Hopefully this did provide a little bit of a distraction for everybody that's dealing with the hurricane aspect of things, the aftermath of everything going on. But guys, that is going to do it for us on this edition of RBLR Lightning. Thank you so much for tuning in. He has been Matt Ginn, and I have been Michael Wax. Make sure to follow us on all social media platforms, including Twitter. I will not call it X. Threads, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, whatever you guys are on. I will also selfishly plug the Bolt Report on Twitter, which is providing you with all your news, notes, and game recaps. And we will talk to you again in the next edition of this one, hopefully with a full crew. Thanks so much for tuning in, guys.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.